sang songs about love this morning, if you noticed, if you didn't get the theme of that. And this is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and the fourth Sunday of Advent is all about love. And this season of Advent, we've learned about hope, we've learned about peace, we've learned about joy that comes from trusting and knowing Jesus Christ in our life. And that peace and that hope, and it only comes from one place. You can only find joy. You'll never find it in the things of this world, but you'll only find it in Jesus Christ. When you have your heart and desires set on Jesus, you'll find that joy, and you'll find peace, and you'll find hope. And so today we arrive at really the heart of it all. And the heart of all that is love. And so we light these candles. Candle of peace and candle of joy. And we light the candle of love. The center candle we'll light Christmas Eve. The center candle represents Jesus Christ. It's called the Christ candle. And so we'll light that one Christmas Eve. So this fourth Sunday of Advent, we pause for a moment and reflect on the theme of love. It's not just a vague, sentimental emotion. It's not the love that the world teaches. But it's the love that God changes everything. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 12, it says this: "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us." Man, isn't that a beautiful scripture? John begins with love as the defining mark of a child of God. And today, I want us to understand that Advent is not merely a season of lights. It's not about presents. It's not about the lights and the joy. Sometimes it's fun to see that. If you've ever been to West Frankfort, to Candy Cane Lane, and you've drove through that, it's neat to see all the lights, but it's not about that. It's not about singing carols and getting gifts. It's the season that we behold God's ultimate expression of love. It's when He gave Jesus Christ to us. And our response to that should be repentance and faith and obedience to that love. Because God is love. And He is the source and the standard of what true love really is. Verse 7 there says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God." You want to know what true love is? You know God. If you know God, then you know what true love is. That word love, that agape is here in the Greek, used here. And that agape love is sacrificial. It's unconditional. It's that love that chooses the good of others above self. It's unlike the love produced by feelings, because we tend to live by feelings. And that love's only built on emotions and what we think people deserve, right? Agape originates in God Himself, and agape, it doesn't originate in emotions and what we deserve. Agape comes from the love that God showed us when we didn't deserve it. The early church, they faced divisions. They faced persecution. They had moral confusion in their communities and even in the church. And John, he wrote this to remind believers that love is the product of true Christian identity. If you're a believer in Jesus and you love God and you've chosen to give your life to Him when the Holy Spirit lives in you, the product of that is love. You love one another because He first loved you. Love's not optional. It's the essence of God's character. You hear me? It's who God is. And if He lives in you, guess what comes out of you? Love, right? 1 John 4:8, it makes it clear, whoever does not love does not know God. Man, that's harsh, isn't it? Because God is love. You know, when we get focused on worldly things, when we get focused on the self, desires, and we take God out of the picture, guess what? Love doesn't exist, does it? Because then we are living on our emotions. This world lives and functions on transactional relationships, doesn't it? But God calls His people to reflect His self-giving love, right? That's what we reflect on. So I would ask you today, is your love reactive or is it reflective of God's agape love? And if you're grasping for affection or validation elsewhere, you cannot reflect God's love fully, can you? This Advent, it invites us to rest in God's love first, then love others out of overflow. I think of always the candle in a dark room. And the candle does not have to look for darkness. It naturally dispels darkness. It's with us. I've used that analogy so many times because when you hold a flashlight or you hold a candle, no matter where you walk, it dispels the darkness. It lights your path. It lights your feet, and darkness flees from it. Darkness doesn't overtake the light, does it? And when that light lives in you, that love comes out of you, and guess what? Love overcomes the world. That should be a good amen right there. God demonstrated His love through sacrifice, didn't He? And in verse 9 and 10 there, it says, God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son. Man, that chokes me up every time I read that, because God sent His one and only Son so that we might have eternal life. And it only comes through Him, is what the Scripture says here. This is real love, folks. This is what real love is. Not that we loved God first, but that He loved us and sent His Son anyway, despite of ourselves, to take away our sins. Not to be a part of our sins. You hear that? He didn't come to be a part of our sins. He came to take our sins away. You don't live in them anymore. John, he emphasizes that love is action-oriented. Okay? God's love's not just sentimental or it's sacrificial and redemptive. That word sacrifice there, again, In the Greek, it refers to an atoning act that restores our broken relationship with God. Because in the Old Testament, atonement involved the blood of lambs and bulls and goats. But that right there was just a foreshadowing of what Christ was to do on the cross. That incarnation is God Himself entering creation to redeem it. Amen? In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We didn't deserve it. He looked at us and said, "They don't deserve it. But I love them too much to let them die in their sin." It reminds us that Christmas begins not in our goodness, but in our brokenness. God didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up or believe correctly or behave better. Right? Sometimes I think we get that backwards. God saved us anyway, regardless of how good we were or how bad we were. God didn't wait for us. While we were yet still sinners, Jesus stepped into history, didn't He? As a little baby. The manger really cast the shadow of the cross. And this is the wonder of Advent. The child in Bethlehem is the Savior of the world. Love came down not merely to sympathize with us. You get that? He didn't come down to hold your hand and say, I'm so sorry you're going through this. He came to save you. Does that make sense? The birth of Jesus is God's loud declaration that His love is proactive and sacrificial and costly. I read this statement. It said, "The essence of love is self-sacrifice. There's no greater love than one to lay down their life for another." Right? Self-sacrifice. That's Advent love. The love that enters our darkness and pays our debt. So Advent calls us to more than just admiration. It calls us to response. And if God loved us like this before we repented, before we believed, really think about that, then the only fitting reply is repentance. The only fitting reply is faith and a wholehearted devotion to God. We don't all have it together, do we? Sometimes we're just pretty messed up people. But through all that, God still loves us. That's why He sent Jesus. That's why Christmas is so important. It's not, you know, I love to get good gifts. I do. But it's not about the good gift. It's about the good gift that God gave. Really? That's all I need. And to me, that's a love that's worth trusting in my life. I can trust Jesus. And it's a love worth following. It's a love worth showing up on church on Sunday morning, isn't it? It's a love worth showing up for God on Monday too, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. That love, it's worth that. As Paul said, I get up every day and I die out to myself. I give up what I would want to do, my desires, to serve Jesus. I give up those things. And that's a love worth trusting. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, it says this, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." That's Advent. You know that God's love doesn't wait for your perfection. Christ came for sinners. He came for people like you and me. Maybe I didn't quite write that correctly. Christ came for people like you and me. Bunch of old sinners. Our response should be heartfelt and with repentance and trust in Him. And God did way more than any of us deserve. Amen? He paid the debt of sin with His own Son. So this Advent, I'm telling you, this morning, I want you to understand that Advent calls for action among believers. When we look back at verse 11 and 12, he said, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is brought to full expression in us." Do you love me? Maybe one of you? Some days? Yeah? I love you? Sometimes that's hard to say, but do you really mean it? That's the next question. I remember Jesus having that conversation with Peter. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yeah, I love you." He said, "No, you ain't getting it. Peter, do you really love me?" He's like, "Well, yeah, I love you." He's like, "No, nope, you still ain't getting it." So, "Peter, do you really love me?" And I can imagine Peter aggravated at asking him a third time. He's like, "Now, Jesus, you know I love you." He's like, "Well, feed my sheep." He was asking, "Do you really love me?" I think we all could ask that question, or answer that question, I mean. Do we really love Jesus? Is Christmas really more about Jesus than it is about presents? Is it really about the Advent? Is it about joy and peace and love that only Christ can give? Is it about sharing that love with everyone? Is it about loving me and loving you, and regardless of my flaws and your flaws, we still love each other? Why? Because Christ loved us and gave His life for us. Should we not give our life for each other? Sacrifice ourselves for each other. Sacrifice our emotions, our thoughts, our wants, our desires, because we love each other. That brought to full expression. I love in the scripture there that teleos, it means to complete or perfect. That's the same kind of word that was used on the cross when Jesus says it's finished. It means it's completed. It's perfect. When Jesus was asked, he replied with this answer. He said, "I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to make it complete." And on the cross, He said, "It's finished. It's perfect now. I did this. God's love, it matures as we live it out, though. It's not easy to love some people. I'm telling you, I've been there. There's some people that's hard to love. Some people don't deserve our love. Some people have done some horrible things. Some people have done horrible things to you. Maybe you're here this morning. You know that person. Maybe they don't deserve your love, but guess what? Christ died for them too. And only through living in Christ can you learn to love them. And you can love them and you can forgive them and you can live a life loving them. The first century church was diverse and it had different backgrounds, it had different languages, had different practices. Especially in the area of Ephesus, in the area of the First Corinthian church, man, they had it was a diverse world there. But John calls them and us to love sacrificially, and especially in the face of conflict. I may not agree with you, but I love you.
You ain't doing good today.
Hard, but in this world today, we see it right now. There's people that, just because you don't agree with them, they hate you.
Hey, Michelle's dad died.
And they show that hatred towards you because you don't agree with them.
I don't know when the services are.
Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 39 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You separate soul and mind right there. In some areas of the Bible, they're connected. The soul and the mind. Whatever the man thinketh, so must he do.
He's on that new Mexican restaurant.
It affects the soul.
Right there. Well, I know he's got another one over in Cape right across from Hardee's.
Like I said, it's okay. Daniel Collins.
Matthew.
I was all good.
Where am I at here?
Farmdale Don's Hall was even better.
Matthew 22, verse 37 and 39.
I'm waiting for it. I thought that pole that's
standing
up there.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And I want to finish that because I didn't. Love your neighbor as yourself. Why is that so important? Sometimes our neighbors aren't nice people. He says, love them anyway. A lot of people love themselves. They do. I joke about that. Some people struggle with, though, they love themselves too much. But then there's a lot of people who struggle with loving themselves. And I wonder how they can love their neighbor if they can't even love themselves. You ever think about that? We first have to love what God created in us. Right? He created us in the image of God, and he wants us to look at ourselves like we mean something and we're important. And he says, I want you to love your neighbor just like that, like I love you. And the only way we can do that is, the answer there, I guess, is the most simple answer there is, and it's Jesus. You place Jesus in your life and then you can love. Not only can you love yourself, you can love your neighbor. Love yourself and love your neighbor only comes from the love that Jesus shows in your life. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 and 7, it says, love is patient. Isn't it? Love is kind. You learn that when you're married. Love is patient. But what about the kind part? Love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, and it's not proud. Since it's not rude, man, we can be rude, can't we? Not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Say amen and ouch over that one. It keeps no record of wrongs. Man, we're so good at that. Man, we keep a book. Maybe it's not physical. We got pages we write names on. We don't forget those things that people do. And even when we do, Satan says, hey, you remember what that person did? You remember? Page 30, section 2, paragraph 4. You remember what that person said to you? You remember what they did to you? It's not what. We keep no records of that. Love in action is not sentimental. It is service and sacrifice and forgiveness and patience. In our world today, this might mean choosing humility over hatred for someone. And I know this because many churches have fallen prey to the attitudes of this world. And it teaches to love only those who love you. But Jesus didn't just love only those who loved Him. He loved everyone, even though they hated Him. On the cross, I know I use the word, it was finished. That was the last words. But before that, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. The ones who killed Him, the ones who crucified Him, He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. He forgave them. Love describes not an abstract ideal. It's personified in Jesus Christ, isn't it? Who came to save, He came to reconcile, and He came to restore. And in His death, Christ bore our sins on the cross, and in His burial, He was laid in a tomb, showing that the penalty for sin is complete. In His resurrection, He rose, defeating death and offering eternal life to all who repent and believe in Him. And that's what Advent is all about. It's what it represents. The coming of a Savior. And we cannot love God authentically without recognizing His love in Christ and trusting Him for salvation. And God's love is not distant to us. It's available right now, today. And if you're here today and you're struggling with things and you don't really know Christ in your life, maybe you did once, but you've kind of walked away from God. He is not that far away from you. He's available to you at all times. So I would ask you to examine your hearts this morning. Are you living in God's love or in worldly fear and self-interest? So I would ask you to serve someone this week. Reconcile with someone this week. Share the gospel with someone this week. Because the birth of Jesus, it's the purest kind of love that there is. It's a love that transcends human comprehension. 1 John 4:9 and 10 says God showed us how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever, what, believes in Him would not, what, perish, but have eternal life. The love of Jesus is the ultimate expression of divine love, and God's love took on human form to bring salvation to humanity. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, it says, I am convinced. I love this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons. Think about what he's saying here. Neither the present nor the future, nor any powers. Man, he's pretty much captured it all, right? Nothing. There's nothing else. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. Man. That's love, isn't it? The fourth Advent candle symbolizes that love that radiates from the manger, the love that embraces us and calls us into a transformative relationship. God changes your life. It's a love with transformative power. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 3, it says, If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and I surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Man, that's a bold statement. Because I think that's why Jesus says there will be ones that will come before me at the end. They'll stand before me and they'll say, didn't I preach and cast out demons, and didn't I serve you in every way? Didn't I do all these things? And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Why? They didn't have love in their heart. They didn't know Christ. Paul's words to the Corinthians, it really highlights the transformative power of what love can do. And no matter our gifts, no matter our accomplishments, doesn't matter you got a PhD on the wall, none of that matters. No matter how many times you go to church, no matter how many times you read your Bible, no matter how many times you pray, none of that matters. The only thing that matters is if you know Jesus in your heart. And that's what matters the most. If that love produced in you and for you produces fruit out of you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 48, I'll get through this. You have heard the law that says, I love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. Different translation. Jesus changes us to love beyond our comfort zones. And genuine love extends even to those who may seem unlovable. Because the cross is the ultimate symbol of love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 again says, "But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet still sinners." And 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other." Going back to what I said before, let us show the truth by our actions. "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." Do you really love me? Sometimes I'm unlovable. Amen? It's not about me, though. It's all about Him. And this is the question He's asking. Not me. Because it's not about how much you love me, it's about how much you love Him. Because if you truly love Him, then you'll love me, no matter what. Again, in this fourth advent, it reminds us that our love, ignited by the love of Jesus, is a great light in this dark world. And it should be illuminating the way for others to experience that transformative power of God's love. We need to leave that example. And so I would say this to you this morning as we close. May the transformative power of love, rooted in love, in the love of Jesus Christ, guide your actions. And as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, let us be the driving source. Let it be the driving source of your life. Let it be the driving source of our lives. Let it be the driving source of this church. Christ has to be center. Because in this world's hungering for genuine love. And people look for it in all kinds of places, and they'll never find it. The only place they'll find it is in Jesus Christ. And they need to see it from people who know Jesus. And we are the light of the world. Jesus came as that light to shine a light in a dark world. And He gave us that gift. And that gift transforms everything. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for again, always, for this great group of people that come and give their day to honor and glorify You. Lord, let us leave here with joy in our hearts, with peace in our hearts, with a hope that one day, Lord, You'll say, "Welcome, good and faithful servant." Because You loved us, Lord, let us love our neighbor as ourselves. And Lord, we praise You in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.